that I've never preached on in my 30 years of ministry. Not once, even touched on it. That doesn't happen very often when you've been preaching for 30 years. But, like I share with people when I teach them about preaching, there are many benefits to preaching through books. People get the whole counsel of God. You know what you're going to be preaching the following week because you know it's the next passage. But a benefit that I mentioned, but you know, doesn't come up that often, is that it also forces the pastor to preach things that he might often avoid for obvious reasons. And this is one of those passages here in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 to 13. One of those passages that most pastors would rather not preach because it's about himself. So notice, verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. So my title is Esteem Them Very Highly, in parentheses, Do You Spoil Your Pastor? So I'll preach tonight as if I'm preaching to the online crowd, if that's all right with you. All you folks there on the YouTube, this is for you. But this is really a fascinating passage because it's not just in the Bible one time, it's in the Bible four times in the New Testament. So let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom. Use your word in our hearts tonight. Thank you that your word is so wonderful and has given us all that we need to serve you. And Lord, as we contemplate this truth tonight, may your will be done in hearts, not only in our church, but in other churches that might be listening and even other countries. And so, Lord, we thank you and we praise you and give you this service. Guide us in your truth. We love you in Christ's name. Amen. You know, when we went through the commandments recently, a few years ago, we went through all the commandments in the New Testament. There were about 150 of them, if you'll remember. There were a total of four that had to do with our relationship to our local church. Only four out of 150. Now, there were a few that were to the church itself, things like church discipline and do things decently and in order and, you know, qualifications of a pastor and deacon, those sort of things. But I'm talking about to the individual believer, his relationship to the church. There were four commandments in the entire New Testament. One of them was Hebrews chapter 10. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Be faithful to church. One of those commandments that most Christians, for some reason, don't believe applies to them. I haven't figured that one out yet. But they can answer to God. It's not my problem. And then the other three have to do with the pastor. So one of them is to obey your pastor. That's in the Bible three times, in Hebrews and 1 Timothy. Another one was don't accuse an elder without at least two or three witnesses. That's in 1 Timothy chapter 5. And then this one, this command, which is to, we use the word honor your pastor. So it says here in verse 12, we beseech you to know them which labor among you. So I want to talk a little bit about that word labor because God expounds upon that for us a little bit in 1 Timothy 5. So if we could turn over there quickly, 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17. God explains what this means. So it's not talking about digging ditches or chopping firewood. Amen? Which that's labor, for sure. But from the pastoral point of view, 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. So now we get a bit more about what he means by labor. He means laboring in the word of God. So this is a caveat, if you will. God says that it is our responsibility as a Christian to spoil our pastor or show him honor, but his responsibility is to labor in the word and doctrine. His responsibility is to feed God's people. Amen? We've talked about this before, but if there's a pastor who's not feeding his people, then you know he needs to get that sorted, doesn't he? And God's people need to pray for him and love him and maybe even ask him if there's any way they can help. But it could even come to the point where they have to switch churches because they're going to church to get the word, right? And if they're not getting the word, then what's the point? But let's look at some verses about this command to the pastor to labor in the word and doctrine. Acts 20 and verse 27, we'll start there. The prevalent command for pastors all throughout the New Testament that his number one primary responsibility is to feed God's people God's word. Note Acts chapter 20, verse 27. Paul here saying farewell to the elders at Ephesus. He says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." So he's saying, I've done my best to teach you the whole Bible. Amen? Verse 28. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." So he's saying farewell to these elders at Ephesus. He's saying, watch out for the flock, but feed them. Amen? Feed them. And he already told us what? All the counsel of God. So let's move on. 1 Timothy 4:11. And we'll see that this is prevalent in all sections of the New Testament. So that was the book of Acts. Here is the pastoral epistles, 1 Timothy 4:11, short verse. He's given a bunch of guidelines to Timothy about the local church. And look what he says, verse 11. "These things command and teach." So Timothy, here are some guidelines for the church. Make sure that you, as the pastor of this church, command and teach the word of God. Amen? 2 Timothy chapter 4, turn over there. Verse 2. My favorite verse for the Australian camp for the pastors is just three words. 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word. Amen? Might sound too simplistic, but it's too bad so many pastors don't do that one thing. They preach stories, they preach illustrations, but they don't preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And then lastly, 1 Peter 5, the Apostle Peter here giving us probably the best outline of a pastor's three primary responsibilities before God. Here in 1 Peter 5, verse 2, three responsibilities of the pastor. Number one, feed the flock of God which is among you. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Feed them. Well, he only has one thing available to feed them, and that's the Word of God. The second responsibility is to take the oversight thereof. In other words, to lead the flock, to lead them in God's direction, God's will, God's calling, God's vision. Not by constraint, but willingly, and offer filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. And then the third responsibility, verse 3, neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. So the third responsibility is to be an example. So to feed the flock, lead the flock, be an example to the flock. But as you can see here, when he's talking in 1 Thessalonians 5:12 about those who labor, he's talking about those who labor in the word and doctrine, those who labor to accomplish what God has commanded the shepherd to do, and that is to feed the flock. Those who do feed the flock, what does he say? Verse 13 of our passage, 1 Thessalonians 5:13, esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. So there's that word work. He just used the word labor in verse 12. Here he uses the word work. But this, again, this is a command throughout the scriptures. It's not just this passage, but it's in three other places. So let's look at them. Galatians 6, 6. Now how we fulfill this is obviously between us and God. I can tell you that from my personal perspective, God has so blessed us over the years. I'll just give you some practical examples. I've been in the ministry 30 years. I think I've bought one suit. Every other suit that I've ever worn or am wearing was a gift. That's the Lord. Amen. As far as church goes, the only shoes that I've ever worn to church for the past 5 years were gifts. I've never bought church shoes in a very, very long time. A tie. I've never bought a tie. They're all gifts. Even my fly rod, my favorite fly rod, was given to me 30 years ago. It's a very, very nice, expensive one. And I've since, you know, when I was working at Honeywell making good money, I bought another one of the same brand. But I keep going back to the original one because I like it better. And it was a gift. So I'm not saying, you know, you better spoil me. That's not what I'm trying to say. What I am saying is this is a scriptural principle that we need to take heed to, especially you people online. You better listen. But let's look at some verses on this and see that it's a scriptural principle. Galatians 6:6. Let him that is taught in the word. So who is that? It's God's people, right? People that are attending the local church. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. So it's pretty clear. The only word we need to understand is that word communicate, right? Because when we use the word today, we're talking about talking to one another. But this is an old usage of the English word communicate. And if you look up the Greek behind it, what it means is to share or to distribute. So what it's saying is those that are taught, and here, look, it's the same thing about the Word of God. It always comes back to the Word of God, doesn't it? So those who are taught in the Word of God are to communicate to who? Those who teach. So that's pretty clear. Let's now go to 1 Timothy 5 again. We looked at verse 17, but let's look at the whole passage, 1 Timothy 5:17 and 18, and see that, yes, it's in the pastoral epistles. Now, we looked at it earlier from the standpoint of the word labor and explaining what it meant to labor in the word and doctrine. But let's look at it again now. Verse 17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of what? Double honor. So this isn't just talking about that the church should pay the pastor's salary, which they should. That's scriptural. That's verse 18, right? For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. The labor is worthy of his reward. Here he's using two Old Testament principles to say that the local church is supposed to pay their pastor's salary. Well, we all understand that part. But it's verse 17, this double honor. I think he's not just talking there about the church needs to pay the pastor's salary, but they need to find ways to be a blessing to him. That's it. And then he finishes it up in Hebrews 13. So the question tonight for each of us as Christians, and I remember the days when we had pastors, before I was a pastor, and we tried to fulfill this. We tried to do our best to spoil our pastor, and we took him out to dinner a couple times a year. It's not a hint, I promise. We had him to our home when we could because we wanted to be a blessing to him because we appreciated that he fed us so much of the Word of God. Then he took me under his wing and taught me about the ministry. And he will always have a special place in our hearts as being our original, you know, pastor that we were faithful to church and grew and so forth. Hebrews 13:7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the Word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. So again, that word remember means to bring them to mind, think about them, pray for them. Of course, we should all pray for our pastor, but to remember them. Who's it talking about? Verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. So now we know who it is. It's the pastor. And the pastor's going to give account. That's extremely sobering too, isn't it? That the pastor has to give account for his flock, verse 17. As they that must give account. So not a long message tonight, but something for us to ponder. Amen? And hopefully more in our church might watch the YouTube video in the future. Who knows? So that we can all understand this and do our best to obey it and especially the online crowd. We have a huge following in the Philippines now, which is a blessing. We have people in South Africa that watch our videos. Those are probably the two biggest countries outside of New Zealand. So who knows where this could lead? There could be pastors in the Philippines that can get a real blessing after their people watch YouTube. Esteem them very highly. That's our title from the scriptures. In parentheses, do you spoil your pastor? So, me personally, I love donuts. No, I'm kidding. I'm absolutely kidding. You know that I'm kidding. But isn't God good? That he even gave us something that you just wouldn't even expect, this simple, this straightforward, when he's teaching us about the church and about his word and about his plan to have a church and to have a pastor over the church whose job is to feed his people. It's such a blessing that he gave that to us in his word. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word and for this beautiful truth. And I pray, Lord, that your will be done in hearts through it, and that, Lord, ultimately Jesus would be magnified through it. And for that, we thank you and love you. In Jesus' name, amen.